Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Brauner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
One night upon the sea, a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every head, angry winds around him blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows rolled. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves control. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey? He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. Though the storms of life may rage and the billows round you roll, he can calm life's troubled sea as he did in days of old. As upon life's sea you sail, trust in him who never fails. I'm so glad he sails with me. He's the master of the sea. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey? He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea.
Hello again, this is Mike Brauner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to come back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity. We might come this way and try to present a message from the Word of God. We do indeed say that we count it a God-given a privilege and opportunity because we just consider ourselves a very small part of a very great work. I do think again about how that the Apostle Paul, he was writing unto the church at Corinth, and in the writings to the church there, he made the comment, as the church had been struggling with the confidence that they had in the preachers who had come before them and presented the gospel to them, and the result of the work was effectual in their hearts. But sometimes human tendencies are such that we conclude that perhaps it's the men who are doing the work, that they're doing some big thing. The Apostle Paul explained, whether it was he or another preacher who was there among them, a man by the name of Apollos, whether it was he or Apollos who was speaking, that didn't really matter, but because it's always God who gives the increase. And I feel that way as I come this way, is that I indeed just have a very small part in a great work. We're thankful to be able to have the health and the means to come this way, but we know in the end that it's truly God who that He has the most important part and always will in this work. So we need your prayers, because when it comes to the things that we try to prepare and try to say and do, we know that we need the Lord's help mightily, that the things brought forth might be effective. We do appreciate the kind words that we've received in regards to the program. Thankful. Appreciate very much your prayers. And then again, continue to pray for this work. And we do seek and ask you to pray not only for this work, but for those who that might hear, so that that goes out would be a blessing unto those who hear. We want to go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment of time. Before we do, I'll try to point out, if you've been following along with the studies, been produced and been presented from this place, you'll know that the work that goes out, we've been addressing what's called the Articles of Faith. And these Articles of Faith are just basic Bible distinctions, basic principles which they find the Bible to teach. They're written in such a way as a statements of faith, and that's why they're called the Articles of Faith. These are the things that we believe. However, just because that they come out and express a specific belief, there are multitudes of scriptures which that tie together, and when brought together and studied and considered, we find from just considering these scriptures that from the scriptures that these are the things which that are very basic Bible doctrines and need to be believed. And these are the things we've been trying to touch upon. This would be the fourth part of considering what's called the true God or the nature of God. And in this fourth, as this is the fourth part, there's obviously been previous messages that have been delivered on this topic. You may want to consider those, whether the written material that's been presented or previous messages that's been recorded from this place. If you'd like to consider those, you may do so for free, resource provided, so that you can go and consider those from the internet, is a site called fisherofmenbaptistic.com. It's fisherofmenbaptistic, that's Baptist with the IC on the end, baptistic.com. You can go there and research and study all free of price, and feel free to share with whomsoever you feel like that you should, if the Lord lays someone on your heart to do so. We do need to go to the Lord in prayer, and then after we pray, we'll try to take up the thought that's on our heart. So if it's to where you can and you'd like to join with us, then let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for the great many blessings you've extended towards us through thy Son Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for mercy, knowing, Lord, that to come along the journey and of life and come short, we know, Father, that it's by your mercy, by your long-suffering, allowed to continue on. And we thank you for forgiveness of sin, and ask you to forgive us again our sin, not only us, but those who that are trying indeed to please thee, our God, in serving thy Son, Christ Jesus. We pray again for the work as it goes on, not only in this place, but missionaries about this very land and country. Pray, God, you'd richly bless them in their labors. Grant, Lord, that the things that brought forth and the steps that are taken be such that would be uplifting and supportive of the great work of God in building up the very kingdom of God. We pray for those who are trying to bring the messages. We pray, Lord, for protection and deliverance from the things that would annoy or the things that would turn aside or hinder the great work of God. We pray, Father, that as we continue to journey along this life, that, Lord, that you would intervene, help us in our daily lives, and help us in the things, the decisions that are made down through life, that the things said and done truly would be that's beneficial and good in your sight. Lord, we pray again for those sad and the needy, those who have experienced loss or have been impacted by the things which that just unfold in this low ground of sin and sorrow. We pray, God, for all in such these conditions, praying for their comfort and for their safety. Help us, Lord, to be such servants of God that we indeed could be a support to our fellow man. Help us to have wisdom that we might impart. Help us, Lord, that we might be better representatives of Thee, our God, in all such circumstances. That, Lord, where there's doubt, where there is even bitterness, that, Father, the things which that You'd have us upon our heart and mind would be conducive of sound doctrine, be full of the grace of God. We pray, Father, again for the ones who that are working and serving Thee in the church today. Pray, Lord, that You would grant that not be given to complacency, but ever be humble and be looking towards You, our Father, for guidance and direction, for knowing You would still have all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth despite all the actions and all the things going on in this life. We pray again for our country. Ask You, Lord, to bless those in leadership positions. Help us, Lord, to know how to support them as we ought. Let us stand in the path that God would have us to stand in. Correct us where that we come short in that gentle way of reasoning, which that is fully in the very hand of God. Again, we ask you to take and use this work. Help us, Lord, to be found ever pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, where we fail to ask, fail not to grant. For we seek all favors and blessings in the name of Christ Jesus. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. You said earlier that we are on the fourth part of this article, which describes beliefs or statement of faith regarding the true God. We'll read the full article and then take up this last part. And as we do, we ask you to prayerfully consider what that's presented. Here we have the article, which reads, "We believe that there is one and only one living and true God, an infinite intelligent spirit, whose name is Jehovah, the maker and supreme ruler of heaven and earth, inexpressibly glorious in holiness and worthy of all possible honor, confidence, and love. That in the unity of the Godhead there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, equal in every divine perfection, in executing distinct but harmonious offices in the great work of redemption." This is the article, and we've considered all parts of the article, down to the very last section in the previous presentation, previous message. We tried to address the absolute unity of the Godhead, and after addressing not only that there are three persons in the Godhead, but in the unity of the Godhead, we address the unity of the Father and the Son. And what we've made mention of is, in this part, we would take up scriptures, allowing us to see not only the unity of the Father and the Son, both being equally God, yet holding unique offices, but that also that there is unity of the Holy Spirit and God, that they are, letting us see that both are absolutely one. And then the last part of this, or the last section of this part, would relate to how that in the work of redemption, that all three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, work in unity, work in absolute harmony in the work of redemption. Beginning then, we'll read from Acts chapter 5, and notice out of Acts chapter 5 what has taken place previously is a man who that we will, those who have read and studied the Bible to much extent, realize that there was a man by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas was one who that on the first missionary journey that Paul was called out upon, Barnabas was the one who that accompanied him in this. Well, Barnabas is brought to our attention in the end of the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles as a man who was a Levite who sold a portion of land, or a land that he had owned, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And he who was called Joseph, the apostles named Barnabas, which means the son of consolation. In other words, he gave up his lands and the money which that the land was worth, being consoled in the work of the Lord, put that above anything that he might have in this world to serve God. And then we read, having this information shared with us about Barnabas, we then find another couple, a man by the name of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. When we read, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." We'll stop reading here. We notice what this called to our attention is a situation where that a man had this situation that occurred that he did privately. It helps us to see that, well, reminds us all that there is nothing we do that's kept secret from God. We can figure things out and plan certain things in our own mind. And the scriptures tell us that even our thoughts are open and manifest unto God. God sees. Well, this man, he had evidently under the guise of following the example of such people as Barnabas. He sold his land, and he was going to try to convince everybody that he was bringing all of the money and giving it to the church for the work of the church. But rather than bringing to give it all, even after leaving the impression he was going to give it all, he held back a part of it, which that was fine, and the Apostle Peter says that was fine. Just don't try to persuade everybody that you're giving it all when really you're not. The point being that God knew exactly what it was that the man was doing. And I noticed this. The Apostle Paul helps us to see that lying to the Holy Ghost is also lying to God. And lying to God is lying to the Holy Ghost. So that in this we see that the Spirit of God and God, that they are one. God the Father and God the Holy Ghost, they are one and the same. Because, and I'll read it again, he says, "Why Satan filled that heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." So in this example, and helping us see that indeed the nature of the Godhead is such that God the Father, and we've already considered how God the Son and God the Father, that they are unanimous, that they are absolutely one, but we also see how that the Spirit of God and God the Father, that is God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, that they too are one. We turn then over for another example out of 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 2, we notice here the Scriptures explaining how that God has revealed through the Spirit the secret things of God unto those who also have received the Spirit of God. In this chapter, it's a mighty explanation and a mighty example of how that until a person is born of the Spirit of God, that they can have historical knowledge of matters which relate to God, but can never have a personal understanding of the secret things, of the mysteries of God. God has kept certain things secret, and it remains a mystery, even though we might be able to quote every word in the Bible and be able to give all the Greek meanings of the English words. However, it makes no difference if we do not have a born-again relationship with God, so that in through the Spirit of God, because we have been born of the Spirit and have the Spirit of God abiding within us, as the Scripture teaches us, we've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise when born again and brought into the great house of God. That through that relationship with God, God opens our understandings that we might see hidden things which that God wouldn't have them to be a mystery to us, but they will remain a mystery and must remain a mystery until we submit ourselves to God through repentance towards God and faith toward Jesus Christ for soul salvation. I notice in this we're allowed to see how that this absolute oneness of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit is brought to our attention when we read in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Here we have an example of how that we, as individuals, there are secret things down within us, things which we may never share with anybody. But even though we may not share them with other people, we know them within ourselves. And down in our spirit is fully aware of those things which we don't share with anybody else. And with that example, we're told, "And so it is with God, so that no man knows the things of God, but the Spirit of God." Just because no man knows it doesn't mean the Spirit of God does not know it. So that who is absolutely in harmony here, who is absolutely one, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And then the rest of the chapter goes in to give that explanation which we referred to earlier. So by these examples out of Acts 5 and out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we do indeed see that God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, they are one. So there are three persons in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We touched on that in a previous message. that there is absolute unity between God the Father and God the Son. Also addressed that previously. And now we've just touched on how God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are one. And now that there not only is there unity in the Godhead, but there's absolute harmony between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working together in the redemption of mankind. We might consider a verse of Scripture to introduce this thought out of Ephesians in chapter 2. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, down in verse 18, very familiar Scriptures, actually one that was addressed previously here. But we notice that in this 18th verse, we'll back up and get verse 17, speaking of Christ, how he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. The you who were afar off were the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh were the Jews. And that's a whole other message in and of itself. Verse 18 says, though, for through him, that is still speaking of Christ, for through him we both, that's Jew and Gentile, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So here you find us as poor lost sinners, lost and in need of redemption, and in our case of being separated from God, we need access unto Him. We've been separated through sin, our own sin, our own failure to trust God, our own resistance and rebellion against God. And in this state of enmity, we need access unto God. We're told here how that we gain access. It is through Christ that everybody, Jew and Gentile, doesn't make any difference what your family name is, makes no difference your status in society, makes no difference color of our skin, the language we speak, makes no difference at all. Everybody has the same access unto God through Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So you have an absolute harmonious work of the three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as in the work of redemption for mankind. It's through Christ, by the Spirit, that we have access unto the Father, so that we all have a direct approach, and we need no man. You see, you did not find in that example that by the preacher who was talking about Jesus, did you find access by the Spirit to get to God the Father. It takes everybody out of the way except God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for a person to have access unto God to find soul salvation and redemption from sin. We'd like to find another example of this out of John, over in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ doing the speaking, he said this, question was posed to him, and he gives the answer. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, Christ is the door. Christ is the access. No one comes to the Father but by way of Jesus Christ. And we'd like to point out how that we're further taught of the Spirit's work in man finding God or approaching God through Christ Jesus. When we read out of John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We have the drawing power of God through the Spirit of God, how God draws. There must be a direct interaction between God and individuals. And that direct interaction is through the Spirit of God. And we'll find another example that helps us to see that more clearly if you're struggling with seeing that from that verse, but no need to fear. There's another verse that also helps us see as God sees God, as we cited earlier, out of the book of Timothy, and we'll turn and read that in just a second. And we'll just go ahead and turn and read it now. Out of 1 Timothy in chapter 2, we notice 1 Timothy chapter 2 speaking to us of how that God the Father, He has a desire for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And we have this desire expressed to us here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Scripture speaking of God says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This tells us that God has a will. His will is that everybody be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he explains to us that there is but one person, one, in all of the universe, in all places at all time. There is only one mediator between God and man. And this man, this is the man, Christ Jesus, because he's the one who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I notice how that this absolutely harmonizes with what the Lord said as we read earlier. The Lord said, as we read earlier, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So then, in noticing these scriptures, we find that indeed Christ is the way. He is the door. He is the gate. He says over in John chapter 10 that he is the door for the sheep. Speaking of the door, he says that any man shall enter by me, he shall be saved. He shall go out and find pasture. But where is he entering unto? There is, like we read there in Ephesians 2 and 18, that through Christ we all have access by one Spirit to the Father. No man can come to Christ, though, except God the Father draw him, pointing out the direct interaction that the Spirit of God has in this work. I notice again, John chapter 16 helps us see this more clearly. John chapter 16, in reading with verse 7, where the Scripture says, Nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. We find that in a later scripture here. The Lord speaks expressly, helping us see that. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Speaking of this Spirit of truth, who is the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which he says here, is the Holy Ghost, we find that he reproves men and women. He reproves us for our sin. When the Spirit reproves, that's the direct interaction. He is proving to us over and over. No man can come to the Father, the Lord said in John 6:44, as it is written, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. God the Father is working through the Spirit to draw men and women unto him. How does he draw people unto him? The Lord said, no man can come to the Father except they come by me. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. And then he says in John 14 that no man comes to the Father but by me. And the God, the Holy Spirit, is working to reprove so that we'll know that we need to come to God the Son to reach God the Father. Isn't it an amazing thing how that these three work together? That when it comes down to this, being reproved down in our souls, down in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we are being beckoned of God the Father to come to Him. And the only way that we can come to Him is through that one mediator between God and men, Christ Jesus. And when we do come, through Christ Jesus, we find we all have access by that Spirit that's reproving us. We all find we have access by that Spirit to God the Father. And when we do come that way, we can truly relate to the Scripture. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This has been our thoughts on sharing this fourth part of the Articles of Faith. That is, the Holy Spirit and God the Father are one, in that all three parts of Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, work in absolute harmony in the great work of redemption. Hope something's been brought out, it's been helpful. If so, thank the Lord for that. Thank again for praying for us. Continue to pray for us. Again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. If we're able to come back this way again, these would be our prayers.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.